We wanted to explain Four Noble Truths. No, no, that's good. Does anyone know the Four Noble Truths? Know what they are, where they came from, how they appeared? Do you want to say the first one?
Life has suffering.
Life has suffering. Does anyone experience that life has some suffering sometimes?
Yeah?
Anyone figured out how to not have suffering in life yet? Cool. Okay, so this is a good one for us because it's at our level. There are actually four levels to the Four Noble Truths. There's one for human, there's one for Rohan, which is high-level monk, there's one for Bodhisattva level, and then there's one for Buddha. And they all follow the same formula of words. So we'll teach you the formula because it ripples through all four of them. It's really cool. So the first one is actually just suffering. That's the formula. And in the human level, it says life has suffering. Because at human level, as we all just realized, we have some suffering. So, but you can remember suffering and then remember life has suffering for human level. It's often mistranslated as life is suffering. Sounds the same. Yeah.
Not a big deal. We're in the Museum of Buddhism in Taipei, and there's like a full exhibition, and Sipa's like, ah, this is not right. And we're like, got the person who got the manager who got the curator to come over, and was like, this translation wrong, explain it to him. And at first he's like, no, and then he's like, and he's like, oh. And like gets on the phone and walks off. We're like, I just told him they translated it wrong. And we're like, but they've set up a whole exhibition. He's like, that will take them a long time to change.
Was it in calligraphy on the wall?
Yeah, the whole thing was just like...
Was it like an ornament of the character or written on the wall? They could read.
It was written. Life is suffering.
In paint?
And the English translation.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah.
So the English was wrong.
The Chinese was wrong and the English, the whole thing was wrong.
It sounds like a simple difference, but has and is changed the structure of that sentence completely. If life is suffering...
What's the point?
There's nothing to learn. Deal with it. Sorry, buddy. Life is suffering. No changing it. But if life has something suffering, that means life can also not have suffering. It's a has and is. Like is means equal to, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I say Sean is a fish, I got gills, bro. Look at me go. But if you say Sean has fish-like qualities or has fish... Sean has fish. No, they died. Sean no longer has fish. Difference, right? Small change in word, but that changes the meaning completely. It's important that we... It might seem like we're a bit narky on terminology and words, but the difference can make or break whether philosophy is true or mental games. So it might come across that we're a bit nitpicky on words, but it's because the incorrect wording can mean something very different. So don't take it personally if we're like, ooh, that wording's not correct. It's not because we like picking on you. It's because we want you to learn the real practical wisdom. And if it's not correct, it's no longer practical.
Good point.
Yeah, like they've built a whole thing and it's wrong. Someone's head will roll. Okay, so life has suffering.
Level one. Level two.
So you want to know the second one?
So level two would be for Rohan?
Oh, no. So there's four noble truths.
Mm.
And then there's human level, Rohan level, Bodhisattva level, Buddha.
Okay.
So we're still in the... We're only going to do human level today. Okay. I would have to research Rohan level. And I can almost remember Bodhisattva and Buddha level, but just human. Human's okay, good. We can't even remember human.
We're human.
I'm human. So life has suffering. Now we know we're at that level. What's the second one? Does anyone know the second one?
We receive suffering because we hold on to it.
Right. Yeah, there's many ways I've heard it said. We receive suffering because we create the cause and hold on to it through blindness.
It's a very, very important formula.
Yeah. Do you want a practical example of how we receive?
So we are planting our blindness seeds.
Ooh, that's
so
one.
So we're creating.
Yep.
And then we receive it. And then we're like all day like, oh, why this always happened to me?
Yes.
And then we're reminding every time like, oh, this always happened. Instead of being like, oh, this was bad.
Yep, yeah, perfect. Well done, very good.
Because you know who's always there with that suffering.
Did everyone understand that example? That was a really good example.
That's good.
Yeah? Does anyone want to summarize it in another way, like a different way of saying it? Real life practical example?
Because the more you can do this, the more you can use it on your own out in the real world.
Yeah. Do you have your hand up?
Example.
Yeah. She's like.
No, she did. She went like that and then was needling.
Okay, so I plant the seed of having tension because I sit at my desk all day and I'm not aware of like Tai Chi power. And then I receive the outcome of that action is that I have tension in my neck, shoulders and hips. And then I have suffering and then I hold on to that suffering because of fear. Because I'm scared of having needles. And so then I'm scared of having needles. That's me. That's who I am. Romani is scared of having needles. And so instead of releasing it, I'm holding onto it. Even though I don't really want to, but obviously some part of me does.
Wow, there's so many layers to that.
Yeah. So what was the point? Did everyone follow the formula?
Hold on. No, we can simplify that. I don't even think you need to go that far. You've complicated that a lot. What if we just went one subject out of that? Because there were many subjects there.
Tension.
Okay, so Tim sits at a desk, so he would also, if it was sitting at a desk that gave the tension, he would also have the tension.
But he relieves it.
He relieves it. Mm. So it's not that you sit at the desk. You don't need to say that bit. Many people work at desks.
Okay, yep.
Jono, look at
him. Don't blame the desks.
Look at how much tension he doesn't have in his hips. That guy can do double pigeon like he's yawning.
Okay, yeah. So tension is something that... You have
it appears blind we all have that.
Yeah,
we all get. So let's go. Let's trim it back again. So, what was the next layer in your
So then I get physical pain. So I get sore muscles and sore back and headaches and.
So the suffering you're receiving is the physical tension.
Yes.
So you have the too much tension and that. Okay. Yes.
So the cause was like moving without awareness.
Okay, that'll give you, yep. So one cause of physical problem is moving without Tai Chi awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there more? Is there another reason why that suffering appears?
Because I don't release the tension.
You don't spend time releasing tension. So what is the cause of that? Why don't you spend time releasing tension?
Because, I mustn't value it enough. To put aside time to do it.
Oh. Whoa! It's so nice when people say it. Yeah, I think the blindness is that you value other things, not your body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you value your body as your first priority, releasing tension would be higher in your list of to-do things.
Yeah.
Or higher in your daily disciplines.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's not over. You're still young. You can go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
New lifestyle. Does anyone... You don't live together, do you?
We do. Alright, perfect.
You're our little. If she's not releasing tension regularly, you're going to tell us.
Yeah, we can do it for each other.
Yep, there you go. And roll on balls and massage chairs and roll on stuff. It's good. Okay, so does everyone understand? The blindness is that not valuing four element body and tension release, and then holding on to it.
I was thinking of the fact that when I have the opportunity to release it, I don't always take it. Because of like fear or
With acupuncture needles?
Yeah, I was thinking specifically of acupuncture needles.
Okay, yep.
But like for other things, like I don't know, rolling on the roller, lack of discipline would be. Yeah, that's fear. Fear of pain.
Okay. Yeah. The other one is another way to look at it is so the fear of acupuncture needles is like a blind feeling. And then, so that blind feeling pops up, and rather than having the wisdom to follow logic and go, ooh, that feeling not important, this is important, like, don't follow that, you hold on to that feeling of fear, like, oh, that's scary, and you hold on to that feeling.
Yeah.
And the longer you hold that, the suffering will stay. Well, the suffering stays. But as soon as you realize, actually, it's not that bad, and let it go, it's not the suffering gone straight away. But letting go of the feeling's the hard part. That's the wisdom.
And I think you have... double suffering. You have the suffering of the needles that, I mean, sometimes could be painful, and you have also the suffering that you've created,
mental
stress, and that's the one that I think is bigger than actually the little pin on the needle.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the torture in your head. Yeah. Very practical. Very practical. Thank you for sharing.
I don't think I'm the only one here who is afraid of things.
Oh, God, no. But
she did really well today, though. She started practicing dragon breathing.
Ah, because we taught dragon breathe. Yeah. Well, that's it. Instead of following your blind feeling, follow philosophy. And dragon breath is one way of following philosophy instead of our feeling. That's cool. I don't think anyone else is... You're scared of needles a little bit. Maren was sweet. Maren was great. Daniel's sweet. John just had him. You're good. Scared. You do it yourself. You scared of needles?
I do it myself.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I thought...
You two are the champions of being afraid of needles.
Yeah. That's all right. Red Bull is also afraid of needles. It doesn't stop him doing it.
So is Sivir. Sivir is also really not that fond of needles. He does it.
So it's like, even though you have that fear, you can still be like, oh, I don't like the needles, but still needle yourself.
Mm.
But I was thinking that wasn't a good example because of the holding, is that for a long time I just held, like, being like, oh, I'm just afraid of them. Like, that's just me. Yep. So it won't work, as opposed to realizing that, oh, I'm choosing to hold that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Great example.
So that formula applies for all suffering. You know what I mean? So anytime you have any kind of suffering, I'm receiving that suffering. It's not like that's the world, not like everyone receives that suffering. I am receiving it. And why am I receiving it? Because I created it. Blindly. And if you can use that formula, it's like a nice little window into like, oh, actually, where did this come from? But if you start with, man, that's so annoying. Sean's so annoying when he does that. It's like right away, it's like the problem's nowhere near me to observe. And it's like, you know, and it's easy to do that with everything in life and be like,
blame the outside.
Blame the outside. But then right away, you can't really observe it. It's like, oh, it's over there. I have no power to do it. I much prefer to be like, actually, there's something I can do about it.
Mm. It's never the outside that has the suffering. It's our intention in the way we connect to something that creates the suffering for ourselves. Because two people can be in the same situation. One has suffering, the other one doesn't. So you can't blame the situation. Could be learning Qigong. Some people find learning Qigong or Tai Chi really suffering. Or they find training in the gym really suffering. But not everyone finds the gym suffering. Some people love it. They go there to get away from suffering. Some people go do Qigong and they get away from suffering. So you can't blame the activity. It's the intention of the person connecting to the activity that creates the suffering. Same with teaching Tai Chi. Some people I love teaching. Other people I love less teaching. I still love it, but less. Oh. But yeah, it's always two hands to clap. Suffering's appearing. The situation might be stressful, but we are the other hand clapping. So we got to. That's the part we can observe and guide and control. So we use this formula to release that. So what is the... First one again?
Life has suffering.
Formula is suffering. Second one?
Receiving
is the formula. Full sentence. All at once.
We receive suffering because we create and hold on to it.
Nice. I like it. There's no definite... I think the main words are receive, suffering, create, cause, hold, blindness. We hold on to it through blindness. Just remember to receive, it'll all fall into place.
any questions on that bit? There's a few faces there that were like,
Oh, thanks.
Okay, who remembers it? Anita.
Receive.
Yeah.
Create. Cause. Blind. Suffering.
So receive.
Receive. Create. Cause.
Cause.
Blind.
So we receive the suffering. We blindly create.
Yeah. It's our own creation.
It's our own creation. That's right. We receive that, and it's our own blinding creation, and then we hold on to it. So we don't just do it one time and be like, oh, that was terrible, I'll stand straight. We're like, oh, I should stand straight. And then what else was I doing?
Right. Should stand straight. You know, I'm really good at standing straight.
Yeah,
I stand straight all the time.
Actually,
you
know?
Can you think of a suffering that isn't our own creation? What is the one you blame on the other? Can you think of any that you might think are someone else's
any
fault?
That we experience?
Yeah.
Because is this philosophy not correct? We shouldn't use it.
Well, yeah, yeah, if we can peck holes in it, let's peck holes in it.
The
yeah.
suffering that Tim experiences is not my fault.
Yeah, but that doesn't cause
how
suffering
do you
for you.
Know? How do you know?
If you step on his toe, it might be.
No. Because he had to have a toe there to be stepped on.
Ah, still your fault.
Oh.
Sorry, buddy.
So I blindly put my toe.
He left his toe there, didn't see you coming through.
Yeah.
Didn't jump
he
out of the way. He wasn't aware enough to get out of this.
That's actually a deep wisdom because people are like, oh, this situation sucks, like it's everyone's fault. It's like, yeah, but you managed to be in the situation. If you weren't in that situation, that wouldn't have happened to you. So
yeah,
it's like,
avoid the post office.
Yes.
or enjoy looking at random things like, ooh, calendar clock radios. I didn't know I needed that.
No,
they got the coolest little knickknacks in there. Anyway,
yeah, barbecue tools.
Tongs with watches in them. Great. yes.
Look, what about... for example, I'm thinking like Mexico City has a lot of pollution in the air. Like, you create it as a collective.
Mm.
It's not that you create it by yourself or that pollution.
Well,
is it?
Oh, it's a good one.
But you choose to live there, so... Because I was thinking the same thing about weather. It's cold, but then it's not my fault it's cold. But then again, I choose to live in Sydney, so it's cold. So therefore, I'm part of that cause. I could live in Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yeah, and then I wouldn't have that problem.
Okay, well, first, yeah, that's called collective causation. And the reason someone might be born or live there is through past life karma. Let's put them there somehow. We might not be able to see it. That's why it's called karma. We can't see the direct line of causation, but there's a reason they're there. And their main cause intention somehow created that body in that space with that family, with that city.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And like John said, free will to leave somehow. If your heart really wants to make change, it will. It will find a way. If everyone said, no, you have to stay here and you wanted to leave, you'd find a way. Most people, if the suffering is bad enough, it will force the change. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yep. And with that one, cold doesn't have to be suffering.
It's me, I hate it.
Snowboarding is amazing.
Different type of cold.
So you can't blame the cold.
On the
cold. You can't blame the cold because your cold can bring joy. And sometimes too much heat, man, that's suffering too. So the real problem behind us experiencing suffering there is not the cold's fault. It's our ability to create the four-element body that is so delicate and vulnerable. Our consciousness is still low level, so it creates this body that has to stay 37 degrees roughly and has to have food every couple of hours, or we get in a hangry, bad mood, needs clean oxygen. So we can't go in the water, so we're not that free because we can't go into the water. And we're free to choose what we want to eat, but we're not free to choose whether to eat or not. We have to eat. So our consciousness level is actually pretty low. Olaf is buzzing. Yes, does that answer that question? Yeah. So cold's not bad, stop saying that.
Pollution is.
Pollution is, but human created that. So humans altogether create the pollution, which then they receive. Question from Anita.
Okay, so what about people in the news or some girl had her handbag, I'm just saying hypothetically, some girl had, I'm sure you know this, had a handbag, two guys attacked her and trying to steal her handbag. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No, I didn't. And I don't watch the news. It stresses me out.
Yeah. Same gig, I swish it on for 2 seconds.
Happiness bubble.
Exactly. how do you, what is that her fault just because she, sorry,
can someone use the philosophy we've just learnt to answer that question? Jono.
It might be a tangent, but I remember Sifu explained one time an example of someone caught in a burning house or in a baby or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he mentioned
Keep going, sorry.
And I think Sifu explained that causation might have been from a past life.
So for the baby who gets, so the scenario is baby gets trapped in a burning building, and from one angle you look at it and go, that baby was innocent, it did nothing wrong, how could it be in that situation, how is karma fair, how is causation fair? And yeah, from that one angle you look at that, yeah, but you don't know what that baby's karma was to be in that house at that time with that family who left it there. For all we know, that baby in a past life was an arsonist that ran around burning people. And that's why its karma is to be there now. So we don't know that. But this situation is a little bit different because it's not a baby. And Anita's question was about a woman who was attacked by two guys. Yeah, do you want to, you're going to answer that?
Was that what Tim said about, you decided to end up in the situation?
Can you use the Four Noble Truths to analyse that scenario?
Reminds me of the plane scenario. If you're on a plane and it crashes.
I don't know. I know nothing about this situation, but I can pack holes in it.
Well, logically. Maybe you are... The lady was unaware, or where she was. Sometimes you can feel that you're in a place that is not safe. Or you are distracted with your phone and then you are not aware of your surroundings, could be like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be one. We'll give you that. Yeah. And Maren put her hand up.
It kind of sounds like, and this is still a philosophy I walk out a bit, because I think it sounds quite cool sometimes, but you are your own main cause. It's the idea that she was there, she had to be there for that to happen, and she had to be unaware of her surroundings, and she has past karma she was, you know, I guess, paying for or dealing with that suffering. And again, it feels really cruel, but it kind of comes down to the idea that all the suffering that you have, in some way you've definitely brought that on yourself. Like Sean said, it takes two hands to clap. And again, I think from our human level perspective, I personally still find that to be very harsh sometimes. Especially if it's, you know, people I know who have hurt themselves, I'm like, come on. But yeah, that's sort of what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a tough one because you don't win any friends by answering this one. But two things. One, one of the main reasons I learned martial art was because I got picked on a lot and I got rolled a lot as a kid. And as soon as that opportunity to learn how to defend myself came up, I don't know if it was the fear of being attacked or the desire to not feel vulnerable, but whatever it was made me want to prioritize looking after my being able to defend myself. So a big part of my journey in life was learning how to fight, learning how to protect myself and protect others. And I think if anyone has ever experienced that kind of fear and they're wise, rather than hiding from the fear and being like, oh no, just don't go into dangerous places. Yeah, that's one way. Another way is learn how to look after your body, learn how to be agile, learn how to kick, punch, defend yourself in case you need to. That ability is there. And I know so many people that my sister, I grew up teaching her, like obviously your sister you fight with, and I like fought with her heaps, and I taught her how to punch. And then a girl in school, an older girl came to try and roll her and grabbed her hair, and my sister just went boom and dropped her. The school got like mad and called my mum, and my mum told me, and I was like, yeah, I taught her how to fight. I taught her how to punch. And she hits good. She's hit me many times. So I think like, in a way, it sounds cold and harsh, but yeah, in many decisions, whatever, we can't see all the angles that put us in whatever position. That's why it's called blindness. We don't understand every step we're making and every decision we're making and every intention we've got. So we end up in a situation we don't know how we got there. And I can look back over my past and say I was the victim in many situations, but if I look deeply, the reason I was in that spot in that time, I wasn't making wise choices. I was out late at night with friends drinking on the street, and then I got my ass kicked. And at the time I'm like, oh, those guys were rude, they picked on us. But actually, the more I look at it, I'm like, what was I doing there then with that intention at night? You know, like, I wasn't pure in my decision making. I might not have had a bad intention, or I might not have even went looking for trouble, but I wasn't creating good causation. I wasn't planting wise seeds. So if your intention is to plant wise seeds through wisdom, you'll find drama will appear less. But if you're out planting blind seeds and you don't know what they are, and you're not calculating your life and not calculating how you spend your time or what you do, blind seeds will result in blind receiving of events, blind causes, and blind effects. So like, actually what Maren said was quite a perfect way to answer it, was many, many decisions leading to that situation, and also not knowing how to defend yourself. Yeah, cause effect, two hands to clap, and it sucks, but who knows, maybe those two stealing a handbag was the inspiration to make her want to learn martial art, want to learn how to take care of her body and learn how to fight. So even that negative can bring positive. But if we only see that moment, it can seem like victim, bad, life doesn't make sense, causation doesn't exist, it's all over. But it's not, and it does. And Romany has a hand up.
I just wanted to say, I really, really found that a hard one too, because it's like, comes into the same karma of like, whether you're born like wealthy or born like, you know, healthy, all of those sort of things. But I would like to think that the two people who mugged her definitely were not moving in a wise direction, and they're planting some pretty big seeds for suffering by doing that. So it's not just her who will have ramifications, or like her choices that are leading somewhere. Everybody is. So, you know, it's like equal.
Yeah, karma is 100% fair. Whatever whatever you do comes back at you, and whatever anyone does eventually comes back at them. We just can't see the whole thing play out, so we think it's unfair or fair in this way. But when you can see from a neutral perspective, the circle has no beginning, no end. You see, it'll all even out eventually. And the way you just said, like being born into a wealthy family or a poor family, or healthy or sick, you know, a lot of people think that it's wealthy is good and poor is bad, that simple. It's not that simple. I know some of the wealthiest people I know are the most miserable, and they can't enjoy anything. They have all this money and they go on holidays, and the first thing you say to them when they get back was, how was your holiday? And they go, oh, it was hot and it was terrible. And well, they complain for 20 minutes, and you say, oh, what was good about your holiday? And they're like, oh, well, I mean, the hotel was nice. And you've actually got to push them to say something good. But their whole life is complaining because they're never satisfied. Whereas the people that have no money, you take them to a nice restaurant and they're just like beaming. Like, oh my God, it was the best ever. So happiness is a complicated subject, and relative good and bad is equally complicated. So we can't judge things as good and bad, that simple, because anything that seems good has relative bad. Anything that seems bad has relative good. And actually the only thing that escapes that good and bad is eternal perfect wisdom, eternal perfect intention, and eternal perfect Tai Chi philosophy. That sort of stuff is out of relative good and bad and remains perfect when you connect to it. It's complicated to hear, but does that answer your question a little bit? Yeah? Good question. Had the real think tank going to get that one out. That was a stumper. Olaf, did you hear the question?
No.
We're talking about the Four Noble Truths, and we were trying to analyze what suffering we receive that we didn't create and cause and hold on to through blindness ourselves. And we had an example of a woman being mugged by two guys, trying to use the philosophy to break that apart.
And I suppose the because we're talking about human level, so we have like, you know, good and bad. We can observe, or we can have spiritual, non-spiritual, wise, blind. But in humans, unfortunately, you know, Sifu was, we're like, how do I know if I'm on the spiritual path? And Sifu said, oh, for our level, it's really, really simple. Whenever you're not observing philosophy, you're on the blind path. Super simple. And Rebel, you mean all the time? What about when I'm around you? And he's like, no, not around me. Just because you're around me. He said, my decisions, I'm using my wisdom and I'm trying to share it with you. That doesn't mean whatever you're doing around me is all of a sudden okay. And you know what I mean? It's like, and that's you know, Sean's talking about one word difference. That's talking about, okay, you want to talk about wisdom. Well, if you're not even observing your life, or you can't really observe it, you can't really see karma, it's very difficult. And that's why we value disciplines we know lead us in a good direction, like Tai Chi, help us just to aware of our body. I mean, I can't be aware of karma and I can't be aware of the space outside, but this I'm connected to. I have a really good chance of being aware of this.
Better.
And it's already difficult just to stay straight. So it's like a good way to kind of humble your, like, where I'd like my wisdom to be and where it actually, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. It's like we worry about, like, we had people come and you say, what are you looking for in a life? And they say stuff like, oh, I want to save the world. And it's like, cool. Why don't you save your body first and like take care of that? When you can make this thing work perfectly, then you look to saving the world. That's great. It's a great intention. It's lovely. But if you can't even really keep this four element body in harmony, the idea of being able to help other life is still a little bit of a fantasy, a little bit of an ego thing. Like, I'm going to save everybody.
I've helped so many people.
I have. I've seen you do it.
You know what I mean? Where people would be like, I'm just trying to help you and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, actually, they should just help themselves because that already is great. You know what I mean? So it's good. It's good to have those little, like, I don't know, self ass kicking kind of moments. Keep you humble.
Keep you in reality. What are you really aware of? And what wisdom do you really know how to follow? Because I can remember a lot of wisdom. I can remember all of it. But when the situation's happening, being generous is often not always that easy.
Sean's got this great example of like when people offer chips, and sometimes when they offer chips, they kind of like squeeze the packet. Because they're like, I want you to have chips, but don't take a big handful.
And you're trying to get one and they won't let it go. And you're like, but I can't get it. It's like the act of generous, but the intention of really being generous and willing to let go of your chips.
Just one, and you're like, how big?
And it's only a pack. It's a 50-cent pack of chips. not even really generous. Like, the lowest level of generosity is food and materials. It's the lowest level, and they're still like that with it.
So Sifu, on tour, Sifu kind of, I think, I'm sure he enjoys it a little bit. So he'll just, because everyone can kind of act with discipline and generous and kind and harmony. But with everyone a little bit hungry, or we're going to do something, but actually maybe we won't get there. Let's just turn around and go back. And he can just keep doing this until someone cracks it. And then someone's like, oh, this is really annoying. Yeah, Sifu's just like, and there's a blindness for you to it. You know, the whole world changing, but this little change, that sets you off, you know. And depending on your level, the more he'll push it.
Oh man, he took us. He said we could go surfing this one day. I checked the report. I was like, surf's pumping. Me and Vince are going early. And he's like, no. We all come with you. And I'm like, but we're not going to move till midday. Like, this is going to, the winds are going to be up. And he's like, no. I spoke to the guy at the surf shop. He said it'll be good all day. And I'm like, that's just so infuriating me wrong, but whatever. So we're hustling everyone. Everyone gets in the bus. We get there. And I get off the bus, chuck my wedding on, and go to run down. He chases after me and goes, Sean, come and don't leave your wallet in the bus. And I'm like, what? And he's like, don't leave your wallet in the bus. It might get stolen. I was like, you mean the bus that we've left our wallets in every other trip we've been on this holiday? Sounds I'm not allowed to leave. Okay, cool. I'm looking at Vince. Vince is like, don't crack, man. Don't crack. And I'm like, all right, go back, get my wallet, give it to him. Do it, run back down, go down. Wind has kicked in, blowing the surf to shreds. And he's like, oh, the guy said it wouldn't be windy today. Oh, well, let's just go. I'm just looking at Vince like, I'm not going to snap.
Just drag and breathe. Just drag and breathe.
So in that moment, my suffering comes because I'm greedy for what I want. I'm impatient for the timing of harmony for everybody. And I don't like being told what to do because I want what I want. I don't want what someone else wants to tell me. I want what I want. So all these little moments, but I can't let go of what I want to not have suffering. So the suffering only exists while I'm holding on to the... I didn't go on that trip to go surfing. I went on that trip to learn martial art and Buddhism. And here I am being taught Buddhism by real life, live, fed examples. And I'm losing my mind because I can't do what I want. Do you see the real learning there? Yeah.
We had another one where we were so hungry. We'd done training all day, and we're like, "Oh, we'd really love some tea smoked goose from Wulai." It's like 2 hours out of Taipei. It's a big mission. It's delicious. Anyway, we're like, "Oh my god, food! Please, can we eat?" And he's like, "Yeah." Anyway, we got it, and we sit down. He's like, "Oh, we're not eating here. We're going to drive somewhere more scenic." And we were like, "What? Sure, great, no problem." And we sat in the car.
I had goose at my feet for a two-hour drive. Smelling, the aroma was just punching me in the nose, and I'm like,
"Sif was like, let's chat philosophy." Life, and it's just like,
and we coined the phrase to have goose at one's feet.
To have a great opportunity, you can do nothing about.
Seemed like torture at the time. I see it as a valuable learning opportunity now.
Because I mean, if something so small can set you off, I mean, what chance have you got? You open out the door, you know, you go to work, everything else is going on around you. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like resistance training in a fun, supportive environment. Well, for the first one, we went on those
real trips, life consequences.
You know, it was much more obvious because people didn't have any harmony power. So it's like when people have a certain level of harmony, you got to kind of spice it up a bit, turn the heat up,
turn the hunger up. Challenges need to get a little bit more real.
Yeah. Tim, I think you should do some more driving. But I've driven for 2 hours. Yeah, but I think Red Bull needs to have a rest. Sure. I also like a rest.
Tim, the windshield's dirty. Just
you're too far out of the line. A little bit over. No. You're still doing it. Are you listening to me? A little bit. A little slower.
It's so stressful.
I cracked. Oh, he's like, clean the window. I'm like, no, you're not driving. You can't make me.
In the back seat, mate, just that little switch there. Do you want me to do it? And you're like, no, I can see fine.
Thank you, Sir Bull. That's fine. I'm driving. I'm in charge. So Sifu just started screaming at me. The point was not that was such a bit. The point was actually everyone else in that car is actually more important than myself. It's everyone's safety. So it's like at that point, which is why take more important. I was like, that's my feeling. I'm driving the car.
My windshield's not dirty at all. Yeah.
When you drive, I'll tell you what to do. It's a terrible argument.
But the idea being that it's easy to say life is perfect and suffering comes from all these causes. But at the end of the day, if your happiness, your feeling of harmony within yourself is so easy to tip off balance, that's what we've got to train. That's what we've got to learn. If you're so easy to make unhappy, then your happiness wasn't deep. It wasn't eternal wisdom. You weren't observing and cleaning out your blindness to actually come across that feeling of Dharma joy. If your level of happiness can be so easily destroyed by someone going, oh, the wind changed, and now you don't get to go surfing, and you're not happy anymore.
That's it.
How do you train it?
How far from enlightenment am I if the wind changes and I'm not happy? You know, enlightenment is the ability to remain in harmony and observe all the changing and appreciate that changing. Appreciate that every life is equal, every life is perfect. But we get so caught up in what I want, and my feeling is this, and I have opinions, and I think it should be like this. And, you know, I prefer to do it this way. I don't want to clean the windshield. Like, all of these I, my feelings are temporary. They are our ego. That is exactly what we're trying to clean out. And when we can be aware of philosophy is observe every life is equally important. So, yeah, I want to go surfing, but I don't want to go surfing and stress everyone out. That's not cool. I'm getting better.
Yes, and that's a good question, Robert, because I think we spoke about patience. And I was saying to Sifu, I suck at patience. Can you tell me, how do I develop patience? And he said, well, does anyone remember this one?
I don't remember the punchline of the ability to wait. For some reason, that's what's stuck in my head.
But that was...
That's our definition of patience. Does anyone have a definition of patience?
What, like the Buddhist one?
No, like a personal...
Your own one,
without looking at a dictionary. Just what do you think patience is? Maybe not people who have heard the Buddhism one yet. Let's save that for the juicy finish.
The ability to wait.
Ability to wait.
Yeah.
Politely. Yes. Yeah. if you're waiting like this, then you haven't got patience. Like if you're tapping your foot, that's not patience. It's like polite.
We're waiting.
No, take your time.
Yeah, that's not patience.
Chompy's, you know, Hedy's like. He's like, you're just chilling at home and he wants to like leave, go to a sauna or go out. And then all of a sudden he'll be dressed with his shoes walking around, like trying to grab your things. Like, Tim will need this. Tim. So, you're in a hurry. He's like, oh, when you're ready.
My mum just puts her bag on the table and says, my handbag's on the table like the queen does. It means I want to leave. And you're like, oh, okay. This is clear. No disguising that. Does anyone have a definition of patience? Anyone? Can anyone remember the Buddhism one, other than Marin? Oh, okay, great. This is great. Okay. Well, we didn't finish the Four Noble Truths. What do we want to do? Did you want to tell your patient story?
I did.
Yeah, go.
I did.
You've been patiently waiting. I'll let you tell it. Thank you.
But I'm not fast.
See, I was testing Tim and he passed. So now he gets to do what he wants.
I want to tell about patience.
Hurry up and tell us about patience, Tim.
And I said, why am I no good at patience? He said, well, because you only practice patience in situation when that requires patience. Yeah, so you're in traffic and you're like, what a great chance to practice patience. Right? Like, I should be patient now. But that's a situation. You don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. I'm in traffic. I'm going nowhere. I'm on the M4 and nothing's moving. I just zone out into patience. Like, I can't do anything else. So it's like you only wait for a situation to practice patience. Rather than in a situation you don't require patience, can you practice patience then? What do you know?
Because then you develop the ability before the situation asks for it.
Mm.
It's like if I've never practiced martial art and then someone attacks me and I go, now's the perfect time to practice martial art. Yeah. go gadget arms. I'm not going to have martial art ability when I need it. I've got to have learnt it and cause and effect it will appear. You can't be in the car and be like, oh, yes. Now is the time to challenge my faith.
Yeah. So it's like when you have nothing to do, at that point, rather than all the different things like I want to do, and that's like, oh, I could do this, 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 at that moment, can I practice patience? Because if I can't do it then, like I said, there's no chance you can do it in the situation. I'm so patient and happy now.
It's a great example.
I'm not quite understanding that. Can you give me a practical example of practice patience where you don't need to be patient?
Sure. Do we have a working definition of patience someone wants to offer? Even if it's not the complete Buddhism one, something we can use. It's not the ability to wait.
Is it the recognition that there is no beginning and end,
with
like a constant cycle?
That's part of it.
It's deep.
That's all I remember.
Something more tangible, more everyday that we can practice?
I've got an example. So often I'll be driving somewhere and I'll be in a hurry because I'm late. And people will be driving normally how people drive. They don't drive like me. They are careful. They take their time. They stop and check left and check right again, and then they turn the corner. Whereas I'm all like I'm a bit... They nicknamed me Bullet for a while because I was pretty quick. And I realized that when someone pulls in front of me, I start getting angry. Like, oh, get out of my way. That feeling. And I'm like, that's bad. Because they might be driving at the pace that they're safe, and then I hurry them by tailgating them, and then they have an accident, and someone gets killed. And I'm like, I started realizing, oh, I should really be more respectful of other people. Because I overtook this person once, and it was an old lady pressed up against the thing, battling. And I was like behind her kind of, and if she saw me in the rear vision mirror, that'd give her stress. Or a learner, you know, you don't want to stress out someone who's new to driving. So my level of practicing patience, instead of when I'm stuck in traffic, like Timmy is going like, I am a child of light, trying to turn it on. I try to remind myself that time is an illusion. I don't have to get there. So what if I'm 5 minutes late? I'd rather be 5 minutes late and get there and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. I was teaching you patience to my client, than create an accident. Does that make sense?
But you still are practicing patience where you are not patient.
Well, that's my way of practicing, is when I'm in a hurry and I'm start telling myself new wisdom, new angles, like, oh, so you'd rather be 5 minutes late for your client than create an accident. And all of a sudden my heart goes, oh yeah, chill. Like, it's one way of talking to my heart and making my heart practice patience in that moment. Because I'm not patient. I'm still in a hurry and I still have the feeling. But at least if I can calm that heart down, it slows the engine down and I don't feel the suffering as badly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I still think that you are not practicing patience because you already are impatient. You know what you're saying?
No, that's fair. No, that's fair. But I'm in a situation where I need it. And I'm, yeah, so the suffering's already appeared and that's why I'm doing it, right? But that's a step for my level. I never even had that foresight. I would have been angry at that person, overtaken them, given them a honk and floored it.
But for example, what would be a practical example of...
When I'm driving and I'm not in a hurry, I've got nowhere to be, no time stress, I take my time. I pretend I'm Olaf and I take my time and feel the turn. Feel the details in how smooth I can drive.
But do you really, like, you're already impatient by driving. So it's not that you're practicing being patient because you're already impatient by when you're driving.
No, sometimes if I'm not in a hurry, but I still have the hurry feeling. I live in that hurry feeling. That doesn't go anywhere. Just because I don't have somewhere to be by a certain time, I still want to get stuff done. Does that make sense? That's like in my heart naturally. I'm always in a hurry. Not because I necessarily have to be somewhere, but because I'm a fast-acting person, you know? So for me to practice patience at my level is sometimes just to be like, Sean, time doesn't matter. Take your time. I don't have anywhere to be. Why am I in a hurry? And that's me practicing. At my level, that is practice. It doesn't seem high level, but it's there. But I have high level patience in another way. Like, if I'm trying to explain someone how to understand their blindness, I can do that all day. I have so much patience for other people, but not for myself. So my patience is a very deep subject. It's not as simple as ability to get somewhere without feeling time stress. That's one level. Olaf's amazing at that. He will take his time and... You have your hand up?
Yes. I wasn't always amazing at this.
Oh, right.
Oh, man.
Really?
I used to scream in the car. Oh, man. But it's like stressing myself out. It just made things worse. Terrible driver, and I just got to the location where I needed to go, just pissed off and out of harmony. It's terrible.
I can't see that.
I'm just trying to imagine it. I also remember that picture of you when you're like quite chubby in the army.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, even that one. I'm like, who's that guy? You got to send that picture. That one.
Oh yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I've seen that photo. It's pretty. Yeah. He looks thugged out.
He looks
shaved
like,
head.
Yeah, shaved head.
Shaved head, thugged out.
That's a big piece.
But yeah, does that help you understand patience a little bit more?
Can we give another example?
Ooh, sure. Okay. Ooh, go to him.
Definition. A definition for patience. The ability to remain calm to observe the eternal truth of life.
The ability to remain calm.
to observe.
Yeah.
So even if you remember it as the ability to remain calm to observe, that's already, like Sean's saying, for everyone has their own level, a step towards patient. Just the ability to remain calm, for me, is a step. Forget observing, just like, and calm. Otherwise, like Sean, I've got like, there's a million places I can do, and I need to get there fast. And then when I get there, it's not like I'll be like, ah, oh, relax, like Olaf. Like, we'll walk, and Olaf will be like,
just take it in the moment.
Like, what's the matter? You all right? And he's like, just take it in. And we're like, come on, we're getting to the beach.
Yeah, we take it in when we get there.
Do we take Valerie and Jono to a swim in Tamarama? And we were like in the car, and get there, and we were like quickly get changed, and we were like run down to the beach. Then we got in the water, and then just as they had just got in the water, like, okay, time to go.
And then they both like, right, this was a quick swim.
Like, you know, for them they were just like, but we're like, oh great, in the water, 1, 2, 3, and.
Jono looked really stressed out because we were taking him to the beach, and he was like, but it's going to take for ages. And I'm like, no, we're just going for a quick swim, and he's like. But, like, in his head, quick swim is still, it takes a little while, you know, you just take his time to get it done. For me and Tim, a quick swim is a very quick swim. It's how a little splashy, splashy. Huh?
How many minutes is a quick swim?
3 or 4. Just a dunk. We just wanted to dunk in the water and then get out of there. It was hot, hot day.
I would say a quick swim is going to be 20 minutes.
No, no time for that.
Yeah, a quick swim.
Can you even swim in 3 minutes?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, we weren't going in the ocean. We were going in a little rock pool on the side of Tamarama, and we just wanted to dunk in, take in the nature, and then get out of there. And we did exactly that. And when Jono realised, we were like, all right, and we're going. And he went... That's why you weren't worried about the time, because you literally meant 2 minutes. And
so what I used to say about patience is when you have nothing to do or you have many things to do, you can sit quietly, close your eyes. You can practice in that moment. Can you go from what you wanted to do, what was so important, to actually change that feeling? Read philosophy. Spend a few moments. Have to do nothing. It's very difficult. To do something is actually very easy. But to not do something, almost impossible. The moment that nothing appears, it's like a vacuum for all the somethings to come back.
It's a great sentence.
It's just like that 1 second, oh, it's great. And then like, ooh, oh, I need to, you know, I actually don't need to go anywhere. Don't even.
I'm practicing patience.
Yeah.
I'm going to set a timer and practice patience for 5 minutes. Oh, no, Sean. Whoa, Sean.
Sean's needled me, and I'm like, oh, it's great. Oh, I've got needles.
Because I'm over there doing stuff, and Tim's always like, I can do that. Wait, no, I can't. I've got needles in.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, I've got needles. And I had this awesome meditation experience when I was observing I was doing that. I was like, I really switch off for 3 seconds, and then I forget I have needles in, and then I'm like, oh, disappointed. That's okay. I'll just enjoy sitting here. I'll get... Oh, like, stuck in a loop. I was like, that was ridiculous. I went to this beautiful meditation. Like, oh, wow. I could basically just... You feel like your body's separate, and then you can actually feel the other people in the room. But I came from such a ridiculous, like... That is a ridiculous habit. Like, I haven't taken them out. Of course, they're still in my neck.
Because when we think about cause and effect, the whole universe is buzzing atoms, constantly sharing information and energy with each other. And our bodies are that. And our consciousness connects to this body. The power of meditation isn't to sit and be still and like hold stillness. That's actually holding. That's not a way to be happy. That would be so frustrating because you're trying to stop change in your body when your body is actually changing. Your body is constantly changing, your heart beating, your lungs, your digestive tract. But meditation is more when you go into a state of observing where you actually realize that your true self isn't that buzzing atom energy. Actually, you're the ability to be aware, which is the calm stillness that holds all that buzzing. Like you become one with the ocean and you can feel what the waves are doing, but you don't exist as one wave or another wave. You actually just stay in that calm observing. So it's like your heart is actually aware of all the changing, but remains still to observe the changing, not lost in each change. But we live in, oh, I've got to do this. Oh, I've got to do that. Oh, I've got 5 minutes. I've got to do this quickly. That's what we live in. That's our normal life. That's our normal ego. But calmness and patience is actually to be able to stop having to always be busy, stop always being influenced by the changing, and actually be able to observe the changing without getting lost in any of it. That's the ability we're training, right? So your heart being able to calmly observe is what we're trying to develop. That's what we're trying to awaken to connect to more. That's called back to essence. Or have you got another name for it?
That's to that training.
That calm observing power. Observing self-being, back to essence, Dharma joy. When you connect to all this, it's actually when you're not just following the changing. You're not just lost in blind changing. You're actually able to observe and calmly observe for a moment. It's such a beautiful feeling. It's not easy. It's really not easy, but it's beautiful when you get there. And I've seen a few of you get there. I've seen a lot of you get there, actually. But we've got to make that more a habit so that when we are stressed out, you go back to that before you involve.
So the training before the actual situation arrives. You've
got to build it up, build it up, build it up, so that when that situation happens, like if I find myself getting angry, that's the hardest time to do it, but that's the best time to challenge myself to be able to do it. Tension release helps, reading philosophy regularly, connecting to Tai Chi, Qigong, you know, practicing not following your feeling. When you have a feeling, observe it, name it. I'm angry because this person did that, or I'm scared because of this, and learn to actually see that that feeling itself is not logical. It's not going to take you anywhere good. If following our blind feeling took us somewhere good, we would all be Buddha a long time ago. But we're not, because blind feeling and blind ego is the opposite. That's where the suffering comes from. And Four Noble Truths is life has suffering and we receive suffering because we create the cause and hold on to it through blindness. And our feeling, we create. Our thoughts, we create through blindness. They're not wise thoughts. So we need to learn to observe before following. Does anyone know the third one?
Destroy the cause to release the suffering.
Ooh, we before everything. Yeah. So there's a few ways, but I remember it by to release suffering, we have to destroy the cause. But what did you say? Destroy the cause to release suffering. So the formula is suffering, receive, destroy. And John just said it. You've got to destroy the cause to release the suffering. So what was the cause again?
Blindness.
We create the cause through blindness. So blindness is the cause. So how do you destroy the cause?
By following wisdom.
Following wisdom.
Or being wisdom. I'll take my answer off the table.
You like went all in and then raised it, lowered it, and took a bit back.
So in a way, that's kind of correct, but I can peck holes in it where it's not correct. So that's good that you took it off the table, but we'll bring it back later. Did someone else put their hand up? Yeah.
Learning the truth of life.
Learning the truth of life. That's one. How do we do that? How do we practice that? Because that's the same as saying wisdom. Wisdom is great, but wisdom can be easily... How do you apply wisdom to make it practical? And learning the truth of life is great, but how do you apply it?
One heart, two gates. I'm thinking that philosophy, instead of following blindness, I'm taking the other gate and follow eternal wisdom and keep repeating that and filling up. Create more wisdom instead of creating more blindness, and eventually it's just going to be wisdom there. I'm thinking.
They're all great. It's just they're missing the magic layer. There's a magic layer.
I've just got a question. Can you actually stop the cause if you're not Bodhisattva level and can't read karma? Can you actually stop the cause?
I hope so. What are we learning for?
You could definitely stop some of it, couldn't you?
Just some, but
I need to put a hand up first. But
she... not all. You can only stop some things, but you can't stop the cause of suffering if you're at our level. There'll always be suffering unless you're Bodhisattva or Buddha.
Unless you develop.
Yeah. So can you stop suffering if you're not a Buddha? Like if you're at our level, how do you stop? And you can't have the ability to read karma. How do you stop suffering?
This is great. Stop a lot of it. This class has gone to another level. This is awesome.
It's good. It's a good question.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like saying if I walk into a gym and, yeah, I can't lift 100 kilos right away. But it's not to say that there's not a system to be able to one day be able to do that.
You might be able to lift 10 kilos, but you might be able to stretch or do cardio or something. There's always some angles.
Exactly.
That's what I tell myself about guys can bench 100.
Hold on, Anita was up ages ago. John jumped in front of her. Bad John, bad. He's always doing that.
I'm impatient.
So
we can at least try and clean out our room.
blindnesses by trying to see through illusion using six Buddhasama characters.
It's great. It's great. It's all great. It's been said many times. It's just the way you say it doesn't really. It's great. I mean, it's
not
like,
developability.
It's yeah. Of course, that's all we are doing is developing ability. But you can develop ability in a blind way or a wise way, and you can be reading philosophy. And there was a cool example the other day. Oh yeah, the people that Red Bull's friend, they'd learnt observing Lifestyle Buddhasava. They were bowing and praying to observing Lifestyle Buddhasava their whole life. But then at the end of their life, they got cancer. And so they said to their kids, don't follow this observing Lifestyle Buddhasava Buddhism. It's all useless. Look, we did it our whole life and we still got sick. We still got cancer. It's fake. It doesn't work. I love it. So in their head, they've followed wisdom. They've learned Buddhism. But they still got negative result. But the reality is, Buddhism doesn't teach to just bow and blindly follow and believe. It's actually learn to control cause and effect. So they haven't practiced Buddhism at all. And then they've taken what they've considered Buddhism, which is actually not Buddhism, and they've then influenced their kids, don't follow it, it's blind. So anytime someone tries to, anytime the influence of Buddhism pops up in their kid's life, they're like, nah, that's bullshit. So that's, not only were they blind in the way they thought they practiced wisdom, but then they created hell karma by telling their kid, don't follow it, it doesn't work. All because their blind awareness didn't truly understand and practice and develop the wisdom. So all the stuff you guys are saying is great. It's the right wording, but there's a few magical ways of putting it out there that make it more punchy. Actually, Anita's been the closest so far, but I won't tell you which one because she said two now. Now you guys are confused. Yes, you put your hand up very enthusiastically. I loved it.
I think it's because, so develop six Buddhasama characters, but I think in the case of the cancer, it's the sincerity that was missing. They were
very high level discipline. They were bowing every day.
Yeah, but that's it can't sincere. Be sincere if they were bowing and then when they didn't get what they wanted, they're like, oh no. If they're bowing, right, and then they get cancer and they're like, oh, I'm not going to bow anymore. That's not sincere.
Well, no, because actually that's not why they weren't sincere. They weren't sincere the whole time.
Yeah, because they were just bowing so that they wouldn't get cancer. It wasn't about developing. It was just so that they could get what they want.
So what was wrong? What the difference in two people bowing? You can't see the difference, but what was different on the inside?
Well, one was sincere and one was ego or greed.
And what do we call that?
Blindness.
Intentions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the different intentions.
One intention was to sincerely understand Buddhism. Mm-hmm. One intention to get something. Yeah. One intention probably from fear, from personal, from blindness. Yeah. Blindness means that they don't even understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
So the result that comes out of that can't be wisdom. Mm. Wisdom can only come from observing. That's the only way wisdom can appear. Otherwise, it's just like totally random. And that's not true wisdom because then it only comes from changing. Then it's just like, lucky if some wisdom appears, but we're not talking about that luck because we know that can only come blindness and suffering. So if you want to control cause and effect, you need to use eternal perfect wisdom, eternal perfect logic to observe the situation. And then from that, observing and developability, then the result that comes from that will be the same, eternal perfect wisdom. Cause effect have to be perfect.
Certain type of seed will produce a certain type of fruit. You can't plant a blind seed and expect wise fruit. Blind seed will always produce blind weeds. So in that example, they never learned anything. They never learned to observe their intention, thinking, speaking, action. They never learned how to purify action, speaking, observe thoughts, observe intention. So of course, their sickness is the result of their lifestyle, being blind. So cancer appeared because they were blind in their lifestyle. It's cause and effect, blind seeds, blind fruit. But the style we're learning is very different. Very different. We are learning to move in harmony with gravity. We are learning to observe our intention, thinking, speaking, action. First rule is we try to use correct movement. That's action, purifying action. Second is we try to speak respectfully and talk about Dharma. That's purifying speaking. We don't use bad words. We don't talk disrespectfully to people. We try and talk in a way that teaches and shares wise ability. That's purifying speaking. At least when we're in here together. It's great. We all go out our separate ways and maybe we slip up here and there, but when we come here, that's our main intention. And we're learning to observe our thoughts and intention. And do you have an answer for them? Because they're all itching to hear.
How do you destroy the cause?
There's many different ways to observe it. Because suffering can appear physical, mental, emotional, psychological. So you really want to answer how none of those can appear. You might have to address it that way. Or you can address it from intention, thinking, speaking, action. But to answer this question, you're going to need some eternal wisdom. Not a key word. So to answer, what eternal wisdom do you have? You could use any eternal wisdom. Really.
You could also observe how to purify desire, how to purify passion, how to purify physical activity, all the chakras. That's our subconscious. So if you can purify each chakra, bang, cause of suffering no longer appears.
Because you may not be aware of the trick that's in place here. Because the suffering comes from a lack of awareness,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. And the opposite of that is...
awareness.
But what kind of awareness? Wisdom, perfect wisdom.
Mm.
That can explain that blindness.
So it had to be perfect wisdom.
Of course.
When I said wisdom, it was...
There's lots of wisdom.
You guys were all missing little sentences here and there. Yeah.
What kind?
Anita's one was... What did you... Your first one was...
To see through the truth of...
No, that was your second one. You said the first one was observing blindness.
Yeah.
To try to clean out our blindness.
Sifu
wrote one, I don't know if you made a fridge magnet out of it, but it was like, try to be wise is ego.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be aware of our blindness is true wisdom.
There's a fridge magnet of that.
Yeah.
I put it next to my door. Every time I walk out my door, that's what I want to see. Whenever I'm like, I know stuff, I'm observing blindness. Yeah, so what? My blindness, observing anything, is still blindness. We don't need to use that. We need a perfect wisdom to observe.
So being aware of your own blindness and actually having the wisdom and a system to change it and actually make it not appear anymore, that's the magic. To be able to recite all the words and say all the fancy words, that's great, but it's not going to get rid of the suffering that's going to appear inside. It's actually the ability to observe and go, man, that is such a bad habit, I need to change that, and I'm going to develop a system and sincerely follow it to change it.
So everyone's answer was almost perfect, but not quite. And if you want, we can pick holes in it, if you're interested. I'll give an example. Hard shell, stop holding the suffering. Awesome answer, but it misses something. Creation. You let go of something, but you can't just stay there still.
You're going to grab something and hold it again without something to keep you busy.
Because our habit is to hold. That's the habit we have. So what are we going to create instead? So instead of Sean holding his stress to get somewhere, create something new. Actually, care about that other life. I don't want to stress her out. Create something new.
Instead of holding on to things like worrying about everything, practice generosity. Share and enjoy seeing other people enjoy what you were so worried about losing. Now you get to enjoy watching someone also share enjoying it. It's generosity. So six Buddhasattva characters was another one you said. So it's like observe that we have four devils. Greed, hate, stupidity, worry, fear of death, and all the other life lost in that influences us into that negative. But I can't just keep observing and go, don't be that, don't be that, don't be that, don't be that. I'll go crazy. So instead I observe I have that potential, but instead turn it generosity, discipline, patience, concentration, meditation, wisdom. And if I can do that, four eternal hearts will eventually be my natural being. But if I don't have something to create, I'm going to go crazy trying to stop all these... Don't plant seeds, Sean. No. Stop planting seeds, Tim.
Yeah, it's like observe the blindness, but you observe your negative for too long, what happens? You create negative. Physical, mental, emotional. Eventually, you will recreate it. So I see if it's like, don't spend all day observing your negative. That's a black hole. That is the black hole. And also, your negative makes no sense. Doesn't matter how long you observe it. Makes no sense. Will never make sense. So what do? Don't follow it. Right away, negative, gone. Because the only way that negative can appear is if I repeatedly create it. Siva said to me one time, it's like, so funny that the whole world has changed, but your bad mood is still there. Amazing.
It's just like, it's quite powerful. Yeah,
it's like the whole universe changed. Not you, though. Yeah. I was in that hotel room, I was like... I'm creating a new mood.
Did the mood get stronger? It changed, it got stronger. Did it get thicker and harder to breathe?
I was like, can we hurry up? Can we go somewhere? Like, the more you want to get out of there, the more he's just like, I think I might have a shower, or I might need one. I might make a phone call. Can you look at this thing on the internet or pack my bag? And you're like, oh, we're in this.
Oh, look, this movie's on.
It's interesting, right? So the answer, any eternal perfect wisdom, and you all know many, can answer that question.
How do you get out of the box? The thing is that we needed to have observe and then create. That was what was missing, right?
For that particular answer, the wisdom was almost perfect.
But you can't just let go and not if you're just like not holding on to the suffering, you're going to create suffering again. It's actually the wisdom to create wise intention. So
develop ability and then practice it. Would that be?
What ability?
Wisdom, perfect wisdom, eternal wisdom.
See how the words...
Yeah.
Because otherwise you walk outside with wisdom that's like 95% correct.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
But we don't learn that 95% correct wisdom here.
You walk out with that and you like walk around going, I'm actually better than everyone because I'm developing eternal wisdom. I'm great.
That's like an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for that book I read. Just like be grateful for everything. You'll annoy a lot of people. I'm just so grateful you're my man. Like, you're my friend. That's awesome. People are like... Yeah, real douchey right there. You know what I mean? So any perfect wisdom can help you out of blindness, as long as that's perfect wisdom.
So to release suffering, we have to destroy the cause, which is blindness. And blindness means blindly existing. Blindly existing means all the negative that we have. And because we're so trapped in that all that negative we have no ability to create positive spiritual ability. So on one side, we have to stop creating the negative. On the other side, we have to learn new abilities to create positive. Have a bad mood, turn it into a good mood. Not because I act like I'm in a good mood, but actually I have real wisdom to turn that bad mood and see a better angle and clean it out and change it. Or I'm impatient? No, I have care for another life. And my patient feeling, my impatient feeling fades and I feel, okay, cool. I'm not in a rush anymore. I'm not as impatient. That's actually changing the feeling. Versus being like, be patient, John, be patient.
But I'm not in a rush.
But inside, the seed of impatience is still buzzing inside me, making me angry. But I'm on the outside going, I'm having a great time. This is awesome. Do you see the difference? One is fake, trying to control from the outside. Is like trying to put a rock over a weed that's trying to grow. If that weed's strong, it'll push through that rock and knock it off. So we've got to go inside and change the seed. And that's our heart. That's our intention. So one side is that, and the other side is one side is cleaning out negative and aware of the negative and changing it to a positive. And then when we do that with all the seeds of suffering, we reach level 4. Even just for a moment, you can reach level 4. And it's beautiful. You feel Dharma joy, you feel happy, you feel like there's no stress in the world. And you wonder what was suffering just for a moment. And that's called being first level of Tao. Or nirvana. That's your first level, is free from fear, worry, and suffering. First stage of enlightenment. For human level, it's amazing. I don't know how deep I've gone into it, but I've had a taste of it, and it's magical. But you can't have that feeling of, I want that feeling, because then that feeling never appears. Because you're back in desire, back in greed. You've actually just got to, through cleaning out all that negative, it'll appear. You create a wise intention or a positive intention, and it'll appear.
And there's some good teachers for this as well. And we have many of those teachers. And if you observe the facial expression and try to copy that, sincerely copy it, not like do it for 1 second and like, well, nothing happened, Sean was wrong. Nirvana was not there. Where you can actually clear that out. But that's why we're so lucky to have the karma, to have statues that actually have that quality in the smile. And that's the statues that Sifu has selected all have that quality.
Not just selected, but hand... custom designed and told the masters how to fix it, and he's influenced all the statues in Taiwan, because you go to that shop and they're a lot more like that. They used to have big ears and heads forward and bellies. Now they're all, see how Amitabha's body's Buddha is, Amitabha Buddha's body is actually, there's an athletic shape there. It's not like fat Buddha or head forward shoulders. Or big, yeah, the shoulders are relaxed. He's gone through and actually systematically explained to them what is harmony posture. Because if the four element body is not in harmony, you can guarantee emotion, psychology, all be out of harmony. So our first layer of releasing suffering is physical suffering. It's the easiest one to control. And that will influence emotion and psychology to also stay in harmony. That was a big class.
Whoa.